So hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of The Pivot of Change, and I'm Sanne, trauma integration practitioner and artist, and I'm so excited to finally record another solo cast today. And I'm currently still in Costa Rica, so everyone who's kind of been following me on social media, you probably already know a little bit about my situation, and that how I would put it is that I'm voluntarily stuck here. So when I became aware of the corona situation and the pandemic and all the global restrictions that are being made, I decided to stay in Costa Rica. And until now, I'm very happy with my decision. And what I'm going to go into very deeply today is how we can transform fear into love. Because during this time and during this pandemic, we're all confronted with fear. I think each and everyone experiences fear in our own unique way for our own unique reasons. But it's something that we all have in common. And getting rid of fear, first of all, it's not possible and it's not the solution. And it will be very detrimental to do that in the long run. Because what we resist persists. So when we resist something, it actually grows bigger in the long run, and it will kind of backfire when we do that. So this episode, I purely want to dedicate to how we can transform fear. And I'm especially going to focus on the fear of uncertainty, because that's the theme that I've been personally really experiencing, and also connecting to other people. It's also something I've seen that is really a big thing within the collective, is that we're now in a time of uncertainty, and this can trigger very intense fear. And it can also trigger this feeling of powerlessness, not being able to make decisions, being overwhelmed by fear. So going kind of into a passive freeze state, and also not being able how to move forward, right? So that we become really passive and we're not able to really take actions. So if that is something that's been coming up for you, I will go further in this episode, explain how we can actually transform that fear and how we can actually face that fear in a conscious way so that we can actually use it to our benefit. Because like I always say, fear is not here to punish you. It's not here to bring you down, or it's not here to keep you stuck, even though it can sometimes feel like that. Fear is always here to make you aware of something, right? So it can either be something that happened in the past that we still haven't resolved, and it's like a continuous repeating pattern in our life, and that it's now during this time it's basically amplified, right? Because we're in a situation where we can no longer run, hide, or we're not able to cope with it in ways that we usually are. It can also be that we're confronted with certain things that we've been avoiding for a very long time. It can also be that it's a direct, consequence of the pandemic and the restrictions being made. That, for example, your business is being affected, or your profession, so you're facing more financial uncertainties. It can also be that the situation in general, if your personal situation just brings up a lot of anxiety, and anxiety is already you've been struggling with, but it's now becoming more and more overwhelming. So in this episode, I'm just going to point out a few things that really helped me personally, because like I said, we all experience fear during this time. And I've also really gone through moments where I was experiencing a lot of fear and a lot of stress. But what I've learned through my practice is that when I face my fear and when I bring awareness to it, and when I then take action from a very conscious place, I can actually use that fear as very, very powerful fuel to create lasting changes in my life, right? And that my fear is actually my teacher. It's not my abuser, as we sometimes make it. And this is also a lot because of our social conditioning. A lot of times fear is being made the bad guy. Fear is being like the reason why we're not being successful, the reason why we're not being able to do a lot of these things. But when we actually go deeper into that fear and we no longer run away from it, or we no longer escape from it, and we actually take out the time, we set out the time to really listen to it, in a place where we're not going to judge it. So to create that safe space for ourselves, and we can also invite in support of other people if by yourself is too overwhelming. So that you can just ask someone to be there with you, or to have like a video call with someone so they can be there holding space for you. Or you can even ask like more professional support. I'm also offering sessions at this time, online sessions, to guide you and support you through moving and transforming that fear. And that can be really, really beneficial, because if we are going to just ignore that fear and push it away, it might go away for a moment, but later on it's going to show up again. And I think a pattern and a very big coping mechanism that we're a lot of times unaware of is positive focus. So that's something I want to give a little bit attention to, because it's something that we can really, really fall back into. So positive focus is a tool that can be really, really powerful when it's used in the right way at the right time. If it's used at the wrong time, it can actually be very detrimental and make the problem bigger. And this is what happens when we use positive focus to escape our current reality, or that we use to escape our emotions. Then it actually becomes a very dangerous coping mechanism, because most of us are all aware that more addictive patterns like eating, using substances, and all these things are coping mechanisms that kind of distract us or suppress our emotions, actually help us hide away from reality. It's an avoidance strategy because it gives us temporary relief from pain. So that's basically the addictive pattern. The coping mechanism is like, in that moment, it's like a short-term thinking, right? So in the moment, it gives us temporary relief. So for a moment, we feel better. But then later on, nothing has been solved. So later on, the same problem is going to show up again, and it's only going to get bigger, 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 and bigger. And we can use positive focus in the same way. So for example, this is what a lot of people use with anxiety, and that's how they stay stuck in anxiety, is that whenever we're feeling anxious or afraid, we actually start to parent ourselves in a way of saying like, there's no need to be afraid, or it doesn't help to be afraid right now, or stop being so afraid, I don't want to feel this, and all these things. And what we're actually then doing in that moment, we're invalidating that emotion, and we're invalidating the reality that we're actually in. And when we do this, this actually causes a split, and it causes us to feel separate, right? So when we're in a state of separation, actually our anxiety gets worse, because the part of us that feels anxious or feels afraid doesn't feel listened to, it doesn't feel heard, it doesn't feel help, and it doesn't receive the presence that it needs. So it actually starts to feel more separate and more separate. And then our anxiety and our fear is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, until it even can cause us to be in an extreme state of powerlessness, or for us to even get a panic attack or things like that. So that the fear is so big and so huge that we cannot avoid it anymore. It's no longer possible. And it's actually when we start to listen to our fear and to it when it's smaller, we can actually prevent it from getting that big. So I want you to become aware of this pattern when you're using positive things to escape from negative emotions. So these can be thinking patterns, like I said, always seeing the positive in everything. And it's not that that is wrong, because it can be something very beneficial and very powerful when we're in difficult situations. But only when we do that all the time, we don't create room and space in our lives for us to process the more heavy and the more negative emotions. And it actually gives those emotions a signal that it's not okay for them to be there. And for a lot of us, that's actually the experience that we had as a child when we were in a certain emotional state, like when we were really scared, like it's not okay to be scared, or don't worry, you know? So a lot of times the things that we consistently say to ourselves actually are the things that our parents said when we were younger. So that's all we're doing. It's like the default network. So we're constantly repeating those patterns that we learned in childhood. But when we bring awareness to it, we can change those patterns. So what can we do instead of escaping and going away from it? It's actually validating our current reality and our current emotional state. And we can do this, for example, by saying, like, it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be afraid, and it makes sense to be afraid right now, right? And so many people feel exactly the same as you do, because it is a scary situation. And even when you're scared, I'm going to be here with you and stay as long with you as you need. And I'm going to listen to you and listen to your needs. And then to further and further and further validate that, and then to actually listen to the fear and allow that fear to speak. And the best way for us to connect to our fear is just by allowing ourselves to feel it. And then we can ask that fear to speak to us. Like it's like that we can kind of see it as a part of ourselves, like the part of us that is really holding that fear in the moment. It's speaking to us and letting us know what we need to become aware of. Or we can even allow it to speak through us. And you can even speak it out loud or to someone that you're doing this process with. And just have a person there with you and just say, like, I don't want you to find a solution right now. I just want you to listen to me. And can you hold that space for me to just listen to what I have to say? Because I just need to express this fear right now, because it will really be helpful and beneficial to me. And this is a practice that we call deep listening. So then the person at the other end is not going to directly respond or come up with a solution, but it's just going to hold that safe space for you to express, and it's just going to listen to you. So that fear that you're experiencing feels seen and feels heard, because a lot of times that's a very important need that is in our fear. And you can also do this process by yourself as well. But it can be really powerful for someone else to see it too. And then you can just start speaking from that fear. And when you're doing it by yourself, what can also be a very powerful thing is to write it down. Because when we write something down, we can directly look back at it. So that can also bring a lot of awareness. And also later on, when that fear comes back again, we can then just look at it. Oh, what was actually beneath this fear, right? So that we can get a deeper understanding of what's actually is happening, as instead of seeing it just on a surface level. So that is a very powerful thing to do. And when you're sharing it and speaking it with someone, to someone, and then it can be very powerful to afterwards to just write down the key points, or like the, what I call the awareness points, the insights that you've gained from that process. So that's a very powerful thing. And what I always like to do when I become really afraid, and I did it with when the fear of uncertainty was so overwhelming for me at the beginning of my trip in Costa Rica, and it came back multiple times. So sometimes things come in layers, right? So we move through it in different layers. So when something comes back again, it doesn't mean you did something wrong or the thing before didn't work, but it's sometimes that we process in layers. So we also need to give ourselves the patience, time, presence, and love that we need to fully process something. So it's very normal for things to come back. That doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. We process things through different stages. So what I did with that fear, because then I felt like sometimes, like I said before, the need of a fear is mainly to be listened to and heard, and it needs to be seen and needs to be expressed. But especially in situations like this, where we're experiencing a lot of changes, right? So actually a lot of things in our lives are actually being affected by this. So then a lot of times it is actually required for us to take action. So then we can actually listen to our fear, which is going to create awareness. And with that awareness, we can then decide what we can do. So what action steps we can undertake to create a safer situation for ourselves. So the situation that feels more safe. So what I always like to do is just write down first all my fears and all my worries. So first to express it without needing to have any solutions, because that makes the expression process most pure, most genuine, and most authentic. And then when you feel like you fully completed that, then you can go into more the problem solving mode, right? But it's very important, like I said, the same with the deep listening, to not do that during the process of expression, but afterwards. So afterwards, you can then just start writing down and say, so what I did, for example, I was faced with the decision to either go back home to the Netherlands or to stay in Costa Rica. And actually what I wanted was really to stay in Costa Rica because it really felt the right thing. But for a lot of parts of me, that didn't feel safe. So what I first did, I listened to those parts where it didn't feel safe to and what they actually needed. So for example, for what it was a very important need was the need for connection. So I didn't just want to stay here in Costa Rica alone by myself. I actually wanted to have people that I could connect to. So I also had company here as well. And that would make me feel a lot safer. So then an action step was to reach out to people in the group and to just ask who else wants to stay in Costa Rica. And then that next day, I just started to meet up with them and we talked and they also decided to stay. So then it was a very important need of mine, is the need for connection. So another important need was that I know and I'm aware of all my options. So for me, it was actually beneficial to do a little bit more research. So to send a few emails, to ask some people for advice, and to then from that place where I have more awareness and I can see the full picture, then I'm better able to make a decision. So this is just an example that sometimes when we actually listen to our fears, we come up with very good action steps that when we undertake them, they're extremely beneficial to us and actually put us into a place where we're better able to make a decision. So sometimes it can also be, and especially during this situation where there's a lot of uncertainty, so it can be a lot more difficult to know what's the right decision to make, right? So in this situation, for some of you, and then it's again really listening to your fear and really tuning into what's best for you, because it's unique for everyone. And for some of you, it might be better to let it settle for a moment. So to kind of give yourself a break, that you don't have to directly make that decision. And that you give yourself some time to first process. Right? And some of you might not even have that external information right now to make a good decision, because everything is constantly changing and it's going to be extremely overwhelming. So when you feel extremely actually overwhelmed by all the information that's there is coming at you, or you don't have that information yet, also give yourself permission to not have to make the decision right now. And this can give our system a huge relief, when that's actually is what we need, to give ourselves permission, like, okay, you know, I have compassion for myself in the situation that I'm in, to make a decision right now that might be a very big decision with a lot of consequences. It's just, I'm not ready to do that yet. And then to make that conscious choice, I'm just going to allow myself to relax right now, to do what feels good. what feels right for me until I'm at a better point to make a decision. And then it's, of course, very important to do this is in a conscious way and not as an escaping mechanism or as an avoidance strategy. So if you feel like it is right important for you to make a decision right now and waiting is not beneficial, then it's just a good thing to just write down all your options. So let's say that you're faced, like I was, you're faced with two decisions. And both decisions can basically have negative consequences. So in a way, we're kind of in a lose-lose scenario, how it can feel like. Because if I go in one direction, like this can go wrong or this can go wrong. And I can be faced with these problems. And when I go in the other direction, I also have consequences that I don't like. So then it's actually, for me, it was very powerful to first become aware of all these consequences, to create a really clear, full picture. Okay, so what can be the negative consequences when I go in that direction? What is it that can happen? And then again, what actions can I undertake if that would happen? And to do the same with the other decision. And when you then have a full picture, to then also give yourself a time to reflect, so to not rush it, but to really reflect on it and to really trust yourself to make the right decision. It's like, okay, knowing what can happen, knowing what the consequences can be, what now feels like the right decision for me. And it's very important to understand that each situation is unique. So this is a problem with following general advice. General advice is not personalized for you. It can be, for example, I was staying with a friend when I was faced with the decision to go back. And she was actually in a similar situation and she decided to go back home because that's what was in alignment for her. And so what I want to try to say with this is that one decision is not right or wrong, but it's about figuring out and becoming aware what's right for you. And you can only do this when you really become aware of your fear, what it actually is that you're afraid of, what the consequences might be. That's the only way to do it. When you ignore your fear, you're just going to stay stuck, right? You're going to stay stuck. And then you're going to stay in a free state. And when you are first in a free state and the fear is really overwhelming, that's not the time to rationally think or try to find the solutions. That's first the time to be really present with that fear. Because when we're in an extreme state of panic, anxiety, or freeze, we cannot even logically process and think. So in that space, we're not going to come up with the right solutions. So then first create a very soft and gentle space for yourself to process it. Like again, then might the pause and giving yourself a break and permission to make the decision later might be more beneficial to you. And what I feel like that is something that I really became aware of over the last couple of weeks is free will, right? And at this time makes us highly conscious of our freedom and first of all how easily it can be taken away, but that it's not actually taken away, but a lot of times we from an unconscious place we give our freedom away. So this is a time to practice your free will, to think for yourself, to think your own thoughts, and to make your own decisions, even if that's not what other people want, even if that's not what other people like. But this is really a time where we need to become really, really aware of our free choice and to not just give that away. Because when we say like, I have no choice in it, people just telling me what to do, how I need to do, how I need to act, how I need to behave, and I just have to obey that. And I can see that being true. But it's also important to see it from a different perspective, and that's actually that you're giving your free will away in that moment, and you're letting other people make the decisions for you. And what I'm trying to say with this is that it's when we, for example, we can do the same thing from a state of powerlessness and a state of free choice. So we can choose to just obey what the government says, for example, by staying home from a place of fear, from a state of powerlessness, like I have no choice in it, I just have to obey, or to say it, okay, I'm going to do it because I actually care about my fellow human beings and I don't want to be a part in spreading the virus. So I'm going to respect the restrictions that they're currently making because I can see how it can be beneficial for a lot of people to prevent the virus from spreading. And then we're actually making that decision from a place of free choice. And we can also choose, of course, to not obey and say like, okay, for example, one of the restrictions is that I'm not allowed to go out today and go for a walk in nature, for example. And I think that's complete bullshit because I'm not going to be in contact with anyone and I'm not going to spread the virus in any way. So I'm still going to go out for that walk in nature. And then when we, with free choice and free will, we take responsibility. So for example, when you're rebelling against something, it's always important to see that the consequences of your actions and to take that responsibility into, and those consequences into consideration before you do something. And then we're no longer acting from a place of powerlessness. We're acting in a place from free will, which is a very empowered state. So whenever you're also feeling that anxious fear and that indecision, remind yourself in that moment of your free will, right? And to then again, to make the decision that is right for you. And it can be a difficult and challenging process. So also when you're really overwhelmed in a state of fear, like I said, you're more in a free state where you're totally not in a position where you really feel like making a decision or anything, or when you're just overwhelmed by a lot of fear, what I find highly beneficial in that moment to just take a pause moment, and for me to not distract myself, but actually to connect to my feeling body and to become aware of what's going on in my inner world, and to connect with my heart, right? And to, instead of close my heart and close myself off, which can happen when we're in a state of fear and separation, to do actually the opposite and to open my heart up and to connect. And I've also created a special process for this, how we can connect with and open up our heart. I created a free guided meditation, and you can get it downloaded on my website, sanaheart.com. Now you can get it for free. And it's like a 25-minute meditation, I think, where I completely guide you through that process of connecting with and opening up your heart. So when you're feeling anxious, you don't know what to do, and you feel really disconnected from your feeling body and from your heart, it can be a great meditation to do. So feel free to download that. And also something else that's coming up is the Transform Your Wounds into Wisdom group program. And I'm going to start that at the end of April, and the dates will be announced soon. And you can apply for that program if you feel like that will be something very beneficial for you. So it's going to be a group program where we go into inner child work, emotional alchemy, parts work, and we're also going to dive deep into inspired action and commitment. So it's a 4-week group program where we'll have a weekly call and also weekly group exercises and a supportive group where we'll go through this beautiful deep transformation together. Where I'll be holding the space for you the entire time. There are limited spots available so that I am sure that I'm able to give everyone the space that they need. So if you're interested in the program, just send me a message and the application for it will start soon. And also I have, if you haven't already joined yet, I have the Pivot of Change group. Facebook group, and you can join for free. I will also be going live there every single week. And of course, we have Wisdom Wednesdays, where you can post inspirational quotes and anything else that inspires you and holds a lot of wisdom, and Funny Friday, so we can kind of lighten up and also relax and let go. And we have Sharing Saturdays, where again, you can share any content you've created yourself or anything else that inspired you that week. So it's a safe space where we can connect and stay focused and be present with ourselves, and also take others as a part of ourselves. So feel free to join that, and I would love to see you there. And in that Facebook group, I'll also be doing more updates about the program as well. So that's coming up soon as well. So if you have any questions about this episode, anything I've mentioned, feel free to send me a message. And also, if you have any questions about the group program, also feel free to reach out. And you can always do it through my website or sending a private message. And I really, really want to wish you the very, very best during this very difficult and challenging time. And I want to send you lots of love. And I'm so grateful for you that you listened to this entire episode. I hope it's been helpful for you. And I just want to wish you a wonderful day. Thank you so much.